If you have your, I don't know if you still have your outlines on for Sunday nights on selfishness. We're going to be ending that. We're going to be looking at the way and wonder of overcoming selfishness tonight. So let's open a word of prayer, and then we'll begin that this evening. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving us. Thank you for the encouragement you give us in your word. And I thank you for the opportunity that we have to, you've given us to understand your word. Thank you for the encouragements. And I would, Lord, I pray that we might so be in our life that we'll thank you for the discouragements, knowing that you're there and that helps us grow. And now as we look at this, the wonders and the blessings and the way of overcoming the selfishness that we so fight, that we might see the riches in your word about it. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be going through a lot of passages of scripture. We'll have you turn, and some of them I'll just read to you. But as we look, first of all, I don't know if you have your outline in front of you or not, but the way of overcoming selfishness. Number one, the way we can overcome selfishness is lose yourself and become a humble servant. Lose yourself and become a humble servant. So I know that I'm not talking out of my, how many do have your handout that I have with you, that I gave to you? You still do have it with you. Okay, some, at least I've got, I won't have, in other words, I won't have to say too much information, you know. Okay, and we won't be going all over all those verses that are there, but we want to look at the principles. But you see, when we are selfish, we become timid and afraid. We worry about our reputation, about what others say, as one man said in his commentary, and about being made fun of. Dying to self is necessary in building a foundation for courage. We must remember that what we are is not nearly as important as whose we are. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and our goal should be to exalt him and glorify him instead of ourselves. So the first verse that we think of is found in John chapter 3 and verse 30. If you do want to turn there, if you don't know it, this priority will overcome selfishness. And what does scripture say there? John the Baptist, who was the big man in spiritual things at that time. Do you try to understand this? He was the one in spiritual realm. I mean, the governments have hated him because he spoke the truth. And he preached the word, and he was the preparer for Jesus Christ. And when he saw him, Jesus Christ came, look at what he's saying to everybody around in verse 30. He says, he, as he's pointing to Christ, he must what? Increase. And what does he say about himself? I must decrease. I must be unselfish. I need to point to him. You want to overcome selfishness, then you decrease and let Jesus increase. You see, the only hope for a decreasing self is an increasing God. Have you experienced that in your life? I'm sure many of you have. You might be struggling with something, and when you lift up God and he starts becoming that big increase and you go to him, you start seeing things what they really are. They're not that important. And you start seeing yourself, well, I'm being used in his hands and I'm his child, but boy, it is all about him. You see, it says he must. The must implies a command to be less occupied with ourselves. That's hard, isn't it? We sure are occupied with ourselves. You see, the humble, number one, are deeply conscious of their sinfulness and need. And the humble gladly acknowledge their dependence on God. And number three, the humble rest in his all-sufficiency. We're like empty vessels. You see, the sense of your own utter unworthiness in his presence can only induce humility. He must increase, I must decrease. One with humility will not be overly concerned about his or her prestige. We struggle with that. Well, I struggle with it. I've always struggled with it. Pride, and pray that God gets the victory on those things. But as we humble ourselves, we won't be concerned with that. So if there's certain things all of a sudden pop up that you're concerned with, try to change your mind to say, so why am I concerned with that? There's something in my life that I'm not letting Jesus be increased. I'm letting who be increased? Yeah, myself. That selfishness. You see, what a realization John the Baptist had. He knew that his work was destined to become less and less. He himself would have to decrease. John's willingness to decrease so that Jesus would increase really revealed an unusual humility. It also reveals how much he was like Jesus in his character. And so we realize another verse that gives that same truth, is as Paul spoke in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Self-ambitions is your will above God's will. This word strife is usually carried the idea of building oneself up by tearing someone else down. It accurately describes someone who strives to advance himself by using flattery, deceit, or false accusations, contentiousness, and any other tact that seems advantageous. That's found in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Because selfishness breeds anger, resentment, and jealousy. So it says, let nothing be done through strife, putting down or up or arguments and anger, which will discontent. Let nothing be strife or vainglory. Vainglory is simply empty arrogance. It refers to being highly exaggerated about your self-view, which is nothing but empty conceit. Empty conceit seeks personal glory and acclaim. It has the idea of being overinflated with your self-image. You're just putting too much air into yourself. you need to see that thing that your tires are overblown. You need to get it, take some air out of your tires. By the way, if you don't, and you really want better, and you're a believer of God, God knows how to take that air out, huh? I just as soon just live for him so I don't have to get that air taken out. You see, it also, notice it says, let nothing be done in strife, but in lowliness of mind, humble, let each esteem other better than themselves. There's the selflessness. Honor others. The word regard or esteem others is from a verb that means more than just having an opinion. It refers to carefully thought out conclusion that's based on truth. It does not mean to pretend that others are more important, but to believe that others actually are more important. It's from a word referring to the belief that rests not on one's inner feelings or sentiments, but on the consideration of those things external, on the weighing and comparing of facts together. And so the idea of being superior to, thus you believe others are superior to you. You esteem others better than yourself. So the way to overcome selfishness is to lose yourself and become a humble servant. He must increase, I must decrease. But so shall it be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 10, verses 43 through 45. So we need to lose ourselves so that we might be humble. And number two, then, for us to have the way of overcoming selfishness is to love others and give to them. Not only to lose yourself and become a humble servant, but number two, love others and give to them. Look at Proverbs 3, verses 27 and 28. The Bible says, withhold not good from them whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give thee, when thou hast it by thee that you can give. Look then back, you can see that wonderful truth. But then in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to love others and give to them. Withhold not good from them when it is due. When it's in the power of thine hand to do it, you can do it. When it's in the power of your hand to do it. And so we see that we need to love others and give to them. Love others and give to them. We need to lose ourselves and be humble. Number three, to overcome selfishness, is live for Christ and yield to him daily. Look at Romans chapter 13. Turn there to Romans chapter 13. Live for Christ and yield to him daily. The Bible says in Romans 13, verses 13 through 14, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, nor in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fill the lust thereof. So remember, lose yourself and be a humble servant. Love others and give to them, because the winning strategy for life for all eternity is caring about others, putting others first. It's giving without expecting anything in return. Loving others and putting them before us will help you conquer selfishness in your life, and then we live for Christ. Notice it says, but ye put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And we see the heart of every problem. Have you heard this quote before? The heart of every problem is a problem in the what? Heart. The heart of every problem is a problem in the heart. Christians should worship God, love people, and use things, but when we love and worship ourselves, we will ignore God, start loving things, and use people. As one commentary said, this is a formula for a miserable life, but Christ first, put Christ first in your life if you want to have joy and yield to the Holy Spirit every day. We want self to be crowned, but God says it must be what? Crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ that liveth me in the life I know, live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yeah, we want self to be crowned, but God says it's got to be crucified. No Christian has a right to do as he pleases except when he pleases to do right and obey the Lord. The Greeks during the time of the Bible said, know thyself. The Romans said, control thyself. Christ says, deny yourself. If you want to be a valuable asset in God's team and part of the deep bench, you're going to have to get victory over selfishness. When you do, you'll have to love others and the Lord. You'll have to. I told you of the illustration, I've used it before, where a preacher friend of mine that was a counselor and a couple's counselor and a couple family, spoke a lot of family camps and stuff, and I had him at the camp many times and stuff, but one time he's preaching, he used an illustration saying that there was a lady that he was dealing with possible a nervous breakdown, just worrying about this and worrying about this, worrying about this. And he said to her, says, what I want you to do for your project this week, she was a real good baker and a cook, and he said, I want you to go make a bunch of pies for people you know, your neighbors and different people around. Go make a bunch of pies for them. So she did. She went and made all the week. She came back for the next week. And he says, so how are you doing? She said, I'm doing great. I haven't had time to worry about anything. I've been baking so many pies for others. Isn't that the truth? You know one of the advice we give when we see people getting discouraged, depressed? So when was the last time you went to serve somebody else? You're thinking about who? And we all struggle with that. When we start struggling with that, go find someone you can do something for. Guess what? It'll be lifted. Talk to the Lord about it. Find something you can do. Love others. You want to get rid of that selfishness? Love others and give to them. Lose yourself and be humble. Live for Christ. Galatians 5, 16, 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another, that you cannot do the things that ye would." You see, we need to keep on walking in the Spirit. Notice, this is a depending on God. You see, when a Christian does yield to the Spirit's control, walking in the Spirit, there's a promise there that he will not in any wise gratify the desire of that sinful nature. It's a double negative. And in the original language it says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a double negative in the scriptures. That's a promise. That means no way, no how. That's the whole strength in it. That's the whole power in it. No way, no how. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Notice it says, walk in the Spirit, and you will no way fulfill the lust of the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. If you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit, because the promise is there's no way that you can walk in the flesh and walk in the Spirit at the same time, because they're contrary one to another. And there's a promise there that he's given us in Scripture. You see, at birth, we have the sinful nature inherited from fallen Adam. And the new nature we received at regeneration is when Christians become a participant in that divine nature. Because there's an illustration that goes that a certain family had two sons. The older said, "He must make a name for his family." Let me just repeat again so we're in the right. A true story. A certain family had two sons. The older said he must make a name for his family. So he turned his face towards the parliament and fame. The younger decided to give his life to the service of Jesus Christ and turned his face toward China and duty. His name was Hudson Taylor. The humble missionary who is known on every continent, knowing this, that God will use you if you are unselfish with your life and yield to him. So what do? Lose yourself. Become and have a humble spirit. Love others and give. Live in Christ, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Those are ways of overcoming selfishness. Now listen to the wonders or rewards of unselfishness. There's a few here that we have. Number one, we bring or reap blessings and success in our life when we are unselfish. Do you believe that? When you're unselfish, you will reap blessings and success in your lives. Proverbs 22:9. "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." A bountiful eye is a generous one. In other words, what's going to happen? You give, you're unselfish, you'll be blessed. Proverbs 11:24-25. "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall water also himself." Yes. We bring and reap blessings. There was a wealthy Englishman that had in his valuable collection a rare violin, which, now please, if I, these names I'm no good at, okay? But he had a rare violin which Fritz Kreisler, the celebrated violinist, greatly longed to possess. When the owner persisted in refusing to part with it, Kreisler begged permission to play it just once. That request was granted. With trembling hands, the artist tuned the instrument and then played. He played as only genius can play. He poured out his heart into his music. The Englishman stood as one transfixed until the playing had ceased. He did not speak until Kreisler had tenderly returned the instrument to the antique box, as gently a mother puts her baby to bed. He burst out, "Take the violin. It's yours. I have no right to keep it. It ought to belong to the man who can play it as you did." The writer goes on and said, this was odd reasoning, and yet it is something compelling, illustrative of the attitude Paul wanted to arouse in the Corinthians who were made rich in Christ. In sense, ought not an instrument belong to the master who can draw the finest music from it? Ought not your life and mine belong to the master who can draw the noblest harmonies from it? When we yield to the Lord's ownership of our lives, we can be a great blessing to other people and spiritually successful in the Lord's service. When you're unselfish, you'll bring and reap blessings, success in your life and others. Shouldn't we just let the master have it all? Number two, we enjoy happiness and joy. Proverbs 14:21. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. In other words, kind, being kind to the needy, the attitude of despising of sin, whereas is will not bring joy, but being kind to the needy brings blessing from the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 20, verse 25, one that you've heard many times, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to what? Give than receive. Now there's argument there, because you go back to all the scriptures, and you won't find him saying, it's more blessed to give than receive. But you also will find that not all the words that Jesus Christ said are recorded in scripture. Remember what John said? If I were to give you all that the volumes of the world could not contain. So scripture tells us what? Here's where he decided to tell us. And it was known throughout the apostles' lives. It is more blessed to what? Give than receive. I remember, there's other times too, but the one that comes to my mind is a junior in college. And our trumpet trio was looking for a piano player that could travel with us or different things. And there's a real good piano player. He was the best in the school and the best. He's arranged music and everything like that. We were looking for him because he was going to be a freshman. We were juniors. He was going to be a freshman. We were looking for him because he was going to be our piano player. We would travel all over and things like that, our trumpet trio. Here we're looking all for him. And my buddy and myself, Jim Harris and myself, were actually roommates that year. I wondered why they put us together. That's trouble. But we were in the room, and we found out this guy's name, and we're introducing everything in our room. And one of the guys in our room, our roommate, was Dave Warren. the piano player. He was from Tacoma, Washington. They didn't have much. First time really away from home. And it came to Christmas, he wasn't going to be able to go home to Christmas. He was going to just wait their school and different things. They did not have money and stuff to go. So Jim and I sort of said, hey, let's talk with everybody. Everyone loves Dave. If you didn't like Dave, there's something wrong with you. And so we went to a bunch of the friends all across the campus and different things. And we, as roommates, we threw in a lot more. And you got to realize, college kids don't have much, especially back then. It just didn't have much. And so, you know, $5 was huge, $10 or $20, huge. And so one night, the supervisor of the hall let us stay up a little bit late because we were waiting for phone calls, because we had gotten a flight for him to go back home at Christmas. And the last phone call came in, our dorm head came and told us, it's in, all the money's in. So we went and did something. I can't remember how we, offhand, I can't remember how we told him. But when we told him, he was breathless. He couldn't say anything. But I'm telling you what, we were the ones that were blessed. It really showed me the scripture. It really is more blessed to give than receive. By the way, we all like receiving things. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is more blessed to give than receive. That's a reward. We'll enjoy happiness. And then number three, we'll see that we are able to comfort and bless other people. 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And then in 2 Corinthians 8:9, he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. You see, we are able to comfort and bless other people if we be unselfish. We'll just be unselfish. We'll be able to comfort and we'll be able to help and bless other people. There's no greater love than a man lay down his life for what? A friend or somebody else. Beloved, when we are unselfish, we are able to comfort and be blessings to others because we are able to comfort others. And then in Daniel 5:17, we are freed from entanglements to serve and glorify the Lord. And of course, we see that through Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, 2a, therefore, since we are great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. What is that verse implying? Well, if we would take the whole chapter and different things, the king wanted to give him what? Great rewards. And he said, keep them. I'm still going to give it. I'm still going to tell you what the Lord wants. You see, when we're unselfish, we are freed from entanglement to serve and glorify the Lord. Daniel begins by disassociating himself from any thought of reward. It was fitting that Belshazzar, Daniel, like Nahum, remember Nahum? He wanted to give rewards to Elijah. Elijah wouldn't take them. Now the problem is his servant wanted him, and he got leprosy. But you see, we're freed from entanglements to serve when we're unselfish. When we're selfish, we're entangled. Don't you like to be free and have a clear conscience? And so we are freed from those entanglements. And then we are more, if we are unselfish, we are more desirous of growth of God's work, his will, and people. Matthew 26:39 says, "And he went a little farther, fell on his face, prayed, saying, 'My Father, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" It shows the humanity of Christ, doesn't it? But he only wanted the will of God, the will of his Father. You see, when we conquer selfishness, we don't make a bunch of excuses of why we can't serve God. We go forward and do our best for the Lord and to the best of our abilities because we desire the growth of God's work and his will and the growth of God's people. The Bible says in Numbers 11:29, "And Moses said unto them, 'Endest thou not for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them all.'" You see, if we're unselfish, we'll be more desirous of our growth and being closer to God and being the center of his will and see his work and see God's people if we're unselfish. Those are all rewards. You see, the children of Israel, had the people of Yahweh been responsive to the Spirit of God rather than their sinful appetites, their selfishness, the wilderness journey would have taken a totally different atmosphere. And so if we're unselfish, we are more desirous of growth. Are you desirous of growth in your life, in your work, in God's will, and seeing God's will? If you're not, there's selfishness in there. And freedom is a wonderful reward. And then lastly, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Familiar portion of scripture, but let me read it to you. Verses 5 through 7. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You see, when we are unselfish, we'll become more like Christ, because it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He was completely unselfish. "Never let not my will but thine be done. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He took upon him form, no reputation. He was in heaven, and the next moment, he was in earth. For you and for me. You see, when we are unselfish, we become more like Christ, and our life can have a huge impact on the lives of others who see Jesus in us. Love and generosity can spread like fire, as well as hate and greed. When one unselfish person actually loves others and gives of himself, we become like Christ in our attitude and actions. And may the Lord help us all to die to self and be unselfish. The man who wrote these gave us these different things that we've been going through on selfishness. Mattoon, by the name of Mattoon, says this as he closes this section out. "He who only lives for himself is truly dead to others. He who only lives for himself is truly dead to others." Make sure we're not dead to others. Let's overcome that selfishness by looking to others and live a not live a humble life. I should looking at ourselves and be humble servants. Then making sure that we live in Christ and look to others. And that we might be freed from entanglements. That we might realize that our selfishness will keep us from God's richest blessings in our life. That we might live for others and not be dead to others. And encourage one another. Because of who Christ is. And that we're his child. And we need to let this mind be in us, who is also in him. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Those are some great words. Let that mind be in you. And throw away that selfishness that so easily besets us, that might entangle us. And be unselfish and think of others. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for